KingScottRadioTV.com. This is On the Beat Radio Talk Show, and we are excited today, and I know you'll be excited too. We are going to be live today with GC Leonard of The Temptations. My. Wait and hear.
Well, you hear him in the background, ladies and gentlemen. This is such a joy for this station to make a connection. I love connection. With this particular artist. I'm DJ Dove, and you're hearing from DJ Dove, and we're just blending right now along with our artists.
Yes, I am DJ Love, and yes, I am blending too. This is going to be a day of awesome reminiscing and blending together, so stay tuned.
All right, so DJ Love is going to bring our artists in, but let's just give you a couple of facts. The Temptations is just widely known as, if not the best, one of the top three in the country. Worldwide. We're not just talking about the United States. We're talking about all over the world. And it's just been a pleasure for them to bless us with the type of music that they have given us over the years. Now, this particular artist replaced...
he replaced one of the great known tenors in The Temptations, Eddie Kendricks.
And with that replacement, I think they stepped it up a little bit. That's just my personal opinion. When you listen to the vocals of all of The Temptations from the beginning up until this point, up until now... it's just the quality that they have serviced us with over the years. So, DJ Love, bring them on in.
All right. I'm excited to do this. Okay. GC Leonard, we are thankful that you are here today. Welcome to KingScott Radio TV On the Beat Radio Talk Show. Hello.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here. If I may, I don't want to confuse the people. Because there was another GC in the group, GC Cameron.
Okay.
I'm really not known as... The funny thing is, you know, when we're rehearsing and just kind of kicking it around, we called each other by nicknames and initials. And indeed, people were calling me GC. But when GC Cameron came along in the group, you know, I've never been called GC publicly, but within the tight-knit circle, inner circle, sometimes you holler people's, you know, initials, AGC. But with GC Cameron being one of the best artists of all time, I think, personally, and a former Temptation, we don't want to confuse people. So people know me as Glenn, so we'll keep it that way.
Okay, that sounds good to us. You know, this what makes interviews interesting, because there's things that we just don't know because we didn't live in that environment, and it's all like a brother and sister thing. You know about your brother and you know about your sister that other people just don't know. So we can do that. So Leonard, we're going to keep it like you say it should be.
Yes. Yes, very good. Glenn, we are thankful again that you are able to be with us today, and we just want the audience that's listening to just learn a little bit more about you as we learn a little bit more about you. So are you ready to just give us some insight into your life as a Temptation?
Yeah, I'll do the best I can.
All right, awesome, awesome. Okay, and so I just want to know, at what age did you know you had a passion for singing, Glenn?
Well, you know, music was always around in our family. My mom was a big music fan. She loved Sam Cooke. That was her favorite artist. My dad's favorite artist was Nat King Cole. Mm. So we always had quality music, in the, you know, around our house all the time. And between my dad singing and my mom in the kitchen singing, you know, the kids would kind of join in, and we would mock them a little bit, but it was all fun. And I guess at, you know, at some point it continued on with me. I developed a personal interest in music, in entertainment. And, you know, there were a few stars around back then that fascinated me and caught my attention. So I was lured in.
Yeah, okay. One of the things we want to make sure we do is for the up-and-coming artists to understand the history of singing groups and all that you all did, singing on the corners and how you all got started. I want to just take a moment just to acknowledge Nat King Cole, because he really set a tone, and it's been growing ever since. He was the first African-American person to receive his own television show, along with Nancy Wilson. They were very young when they got those accolades. And as, you know, you...
Well, you know, not to cut you off, but you got to consider the time that he did it, too.
Right.
He did it in a time where the television was basically black and white, and there were no black people. Not doing what he did, not having his own show. So Nat King Cole was more than a trailblazer. He was a more than a pioneer. He literally paved the way. I mean, yes. This guy went right to the top, and everybody loved him. Everybody loved him.
Yes.
And of course, we probably don't know half of the things that he had to go through.
Right.
And he had to endure, particularly at the time where he came to, he rose to the top. Was not an easy task at all.
Yes, absolutely not. When I think about that, if I could just say a little bit about that. Again, he had to be so brave. And those who came before you and other known singers, they had to be really brave. And that's a message to our young people today. You can't give up. You got to be brave. If you know that it's your passion, you got to keep at it no matter what.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And so, Glenn, how many years have you been singing as a career?
Oh, you're going to make me tell my age.
That's what I always say.
If I can remember my age, that's the matter of fact. I just had a birthday. I turned 76.
What?
Are you serious?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we just got to go on that for a minute. Really? Oh, my gosh. If you would see him in person, Glenn, he looks nothing like 76. This is the new 76. I think the 70s are the 50s now.
Well, I tell you something.
The interesting thing is, I've never really chased birthdays. Mm-hmm. I'm here, and you only get one birthday. and so I don't go back. I don't think about it like that, I guess. And oftentimes my kids would remind me that day, you know, you got a birthday coming. You know how old you are? Of course I don't hold that. Don't be ridiculous.
Right.
kind of thing. But I recall once or twice, if I'm not mistaken, my ex-wife, Garcelle, decided to throw me a party. And, you know, it was a secret. Nobody, I wasn't supposed to know about it. Well, that didn't turn out too good, because I don't think about birthdays. So when my birthday come, everybody's aware of it but me. And I had some other plans this one particular time. So I had just done an engagement in Atlanta, I think. And some friends asked me, did I have a couple of days to stay over and hang out and just relax, chill out with them. And so I did. I contacted my family, told them I was going to be a couple of days late. So then my wife informed me, well, I'm throwing you a party tonight. So they had the party without me, needless to say.
Oh, my.
I don't really think about birthdays, so when the aging factor kicks in, I don't really think about it or pay much attention to it.
Okay.
So,
well, one of the things we were impressed with when we was doing our research for this particular show, the quality of your voice today. It seemed to have mellowed in the sense that it's pure. And we like that. Now, you know, music has changed, but the purity of it stays the same forever long. And we just appreciate that kind of talent being bestowed upon us. Now, one of the things that some of our guests have asked when we was telling people about this particular interview is they want to know, what was the interview process like with the Temptations after the changes were made?
Well, my interview wasn't your typical type of typical situation. At the time I was with a group called True Reflections, three other young men from the Washington, D.C. area. We formed a group. We got a contract with Atlantic Records. We were trying to be writers and producers and so forth. So Atlantic at the time, one of the premier groups at Atlantic was the name of the, I can't think of the name.
The Delphonics?
No, Everybody Plays a Fool.
Oh.
Main Ingredient.
Okay, yes.
The Main Ingredient.
Gubin Jr.
Huh?
Cuban Jr.
Yeah, Cuban Jr., yeah. But Tony Sylvester was producing the group at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also looking for young artists to produce at Atlantic. So they handed us to him. And we went in the studio, put some things down, and my group, we went right back to work. We were touring in Toronto, Canada, Montreal, Quebec City, all those places up there. And in the meantime, we were waiting for a release date. And they set a couple of dates, and they kept pushing them back. And I think finally we got pushed back for the Isley Brothers. And I thought to myself, the nerve of them. it was the Isley Brothers. What can you say? I don't remember what the song was that they came out with, but the song that the Isley Brothers put out at that time was a big, big hit. It might have been It's Your, I'm not sure, It's Your Thing.
Right, right, exactly. It was that, yes.
I think that was a song.
Yes.
But I could be wrong. Nevertheless, we went back to work. We were in Toronto touring, and up in Canada touring. And when they kept pushing the release dates back, the guys got a little frustrated. So the tour ran its course, and one of the guys decided he was going to go back to school. Another guy decided he had had enough of the road for right now, at least. And I told him, I said, well, if you're telling me you quit, you're going to go ahead on. I'm going to stay here. So I stayed in Toronto, started putting together another act. As a matter of fact, we had a nice little self-contained act. It wasn't a stand-up singing group. So I was playing congas and singing. We were hot. So I got a call from one of the guys in True Reflections, Joe Blunt. He was the one that contacted me. I don't know if he was the first one to find out. But Tony Sylvester had shared with Otis some of the things that we were working on. And, like a lot of producers and singers, you find somebody new, you come up with a new song, you want to share it, man, so check this out. So Tony played me singing one of the songs that we recorded. Otis was like, who is that? And so Tony said, y'all can't get him. I think Eddie had left. They had a couple of guys come in that didn't work out. And then they got Damon Harris from the Washington, Baltimore area. Damon was very, very close to Eddie in his sound. His tone sounded a lot like Eddie. And at some point, he was only there 4 or 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. But at any rate, so when Otis, heard my voice, I wasn't there, but I was told that he commented and said, "Wow, the guy sounds great, man. Who is he? We'd like." listen to him. So Tony told him, you know, we got him locked down. We got him locked up. You can't get him. So the conversation that they had gets back to me. Now, anybody that knows me from the Washington, D.C. area know that I'm an avid Temptation fan. I mean, I would drive you crazy about the Temptations. My first question was, what happened when Tony let Otis hear me sing? So Joe said, well, Otis sounded like he was interested, but Tony told him you were locked down, that they couldn't get you. So I called Tony, and I did a David Ruffin on him. I had to beg and plead. I wanted the opportunity. I felt like I was one of the guys that I felt could hold it down. They went on. I think that's when they signed Damon and moved on. So I get back to D.C. and I find out that they were still looking for guys. And I don't know all of the details of what happened with each guy and all of that kind of stuff. But at some point, I reached out to Otis and had Tony, that's what it was. I had Tony Sylvester to connect us. And I told him I was the guy who he heard sing. He says, well, wow, man, you sound good, da-da-da. He said, we're interested, but what we want to do is we want to send you a round-trip ticket and, see how it goes. So I said, well, just send it one way, a one-way ticket. So Otis kind of said, oh, you got it like that? I said, no, I'm not trying to be arrogant or anything like that, but if I don't get the job with the Temps, I'll be where the industry is. So make it one way.
Wow.
And so they did. They sent me a ticket. I didn't even pack bags. I may have had one change of clothes with me. So they sent me a ticket, and they met me at the airport. The strange thing about that meeting was, as I came down the escalator to the baggage claim, I recognized Dennis, and I saw Melvin. And so I'm just looking over in their direction, and Melvin looks over, sees me. He says, that's him right there.
Wow.
So they looked at me. So Melvin says, Melvin, when we get in the car, nobody said anything. They just kind of was quiet, strangely quiet. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, they don't like the way I look or something's wrong. But nobody said anything. So finally, Dennis started singing one of the songs as we were driving to his house. And I just came right in with the background part. And they went to another song. I came right in on my part. We did about three little pieces, little snippets of Temptation, songs. And so I saw them kind of catch each other's eye, and heads kind of nodded. So I said, okay, sounds like I'm in thus far.
Right.
So we get to Melvin's house, and they have an audition, nationwide audition going on already. So we go up to Melvin's penthouse apartment, and he announces that the audition is as of now closed. And there were a bunch of guys sitting around waiting for their turn, their chance to get up and, show the Temps what they could do. So they said, we think we found, this is Melvin talking, he said, we think we found the guy that we've been looking for. And so I said, listen, why don't you let the guys sing? They've come across the country, some of them, hitchhike, Greyhound bus or whatever.
That was considerate.
Nobody gave them a round trip ticket. They made their way there. They made their way there, so at least let them sing. So they did. They let all the guys do a little piece of a song, thank them. And I said, you know, at least they can go away saying, man, I signed for them. You know, I didn't get it, but I did my thing.
Right.
I just thought it was wouldn't be fair to let the guys come all that way and not let them sing.
It's funny that you say that because in this business of music, it's been cutthroat for a long time. so that is very good.
The nature of it is like that. I mean, that you get down to the core, people will cut your legs from under you to get that part. And they just had dinner with you last night. For the same part.
Right.
They gonna do everything they can to snuff you out.
Well, I think that lends back to your training from your parents and what they did to build you to have class and charm, and it exudes itself. When we met you, it was kind of on the fly, and when the nice lady said to us, well, one of the members of the Temptations, former members of the Temptations is there, and I said, oh, okay, and next thing you know, when we saw you, well, we didn't think he was nowhere near in your 70s, okay? As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, I immediately grabbed hold of my wife. I said, wow, who's that walking out the door like that? And slim, trim, fit, ready to go. And kind, too. So, you know, we really enjoyed that experience. And now look where we are. And it's going to get even better.
Yes, and this is King Scott Radio, TV.com. We are having some interesting conversation here with Glenn C. Leonard of the former Temptations. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back to you.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, particularly before we came on the air, you talked about a vocal coach. And what's important to us is that we train forward, we train the future. Can you elaborate a little bit on what it means to train yourself to be a singer for the up-and-coming artists?
To get the most mileage out of your instrument is to learn about the instrument and learn figure out your boundaries, figure out your parameters, and learn how it works, and learn how to use it. Oftentimes, you have a lot of young artists today who have initial talent, but they don't really know how to use it or get the most mileage out of it. And so the success is minimal. We were fortunate when we got with Atlantic. We were a good singing group already, but we needed to understand some things technically to learn how to preserve our voices, learn the proper way to breathe. That gives you longevity. Oftentimes, you know, especially with R&B singers or hard singing or black singers, they do a lot of damage to the throat because of the sound that they're trying to create. That hard sound, that raspy sound, it tears your throat up. And so the lifespan of that kind of vocal delivery is only a couple of years. So you've got to learn how to breathe. You got to learn some technique in order to preserve your voice. A career span of singing can, I mean, you think about it, you're singing like people get up and go to work every day. And so this is not brass or metal. This is a flesh instrument. And so the wear and tear can be very, very traumatic and devastating. So you got to learn things. You got to learn how to use it in order to protect it and get the most mileage out of it. It's what it boils down to.
Wow, this is just, again, so interesting. Again, you are listening to KingScoutRadioTV.com, and we are on the beat. This is the On the Beat Radio talk show. If you want to call in and if you want to give some feedback to this wonderful time and interview that we're having today, call us at 240-362-7552. I'm DJ Love, and we're here along with DJ Dove and Glenn C. Leonard of The Temptations.
Yeah, this is exciting for us. We're still on pins and needles here. So can you also tell us about some of the artists and groups that you work with? And then we're going to go into the tours and the venues that you're doing, because we also are in the present. And you, yes, from my understanding, you're still working.
Yes.
I might be busier, well, not since the pandemic, but I got extremely busy after I left the Temps. You know, at some point in your career, you want to do some of the things that, you know, you thought about doing for years but never had the opportunity to do. So from that standpoint, you try to broaden your horizons. You try to explore. You try to challenge yourself to see what other areas you can reach over into and excel in. What was the initial question?
That's okay. We're on track with you. Just about some of the artists that you have worked with over the years, because you know this is reminiscing the success of your life, and it's highlighting the success of other lives too. And it's always a team effort, as you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're on that level or in that realm, you're going to work with some of the biggest artists in the world. So, to start naming names, we worked with some of everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, naturally, there were a lot of big Motown acts at that time, Supremes, the Marvelettes, the Four
yes.
Tops. But there were a number of artists outside of Motown that you packaged with as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked with some of the biggest, the best artists of all time. Who to start? What name to start with?
Well, just saying the Supremes.
Yeah,
I mean that in itself, Boss Ross, Diana Ross, and you know the Marvelettes and those kind of groups. I mean, we still listening to those music. That music now,
yes, we do.
And we enjoy it so much. Now, so I understand how you would want to just be easy around a question like that, because you never want to leave anyone out. But just the fact that you were in that company excites our audience. And we're here for these 1.6 million listeners that we talk to on a regular basis. But let me move to the...
Naturally, you're going to work with the biggest artists. I mean, Aretha Franklin, the Isley Brothers, whoever was big during that era, you're going to package with them at some point, or you're going to be on the same show with them at some point. And a lot of those shows, radio shows, television shows, big tour packages, you rarely get a chance to spend any one-on-one time with any artist. Because there's so many people coming through.
Right.
So when you're at the top like that, there's always a lot of big media, a lot of big attention. And you might be on the same show with an artist and never even see them. They come in and do their thing, and bam, they're off and gone, hitting the road again.
Yes.
So a lot of it is like that.
Well, the tours and some of the things that you're doing now, let's talk about that, because we, I mean, I hope a whole bunch of audience that we have chase you down, get to your show, because we're going to make sure that we do our part in getting the information out and let them know, because, you know, we're in that era, we're of that age, we may have two quarters to rub together to go to a show that we can enjoy. And we know the tickets are not cheap. I hope we never get to the point where we have to take out second mortgages on our home like they're doing with the Beyonce tour. And we have other artists that we're working with as well. One of them is Gino Marriott, and he's an excellent saxophonist. So we're going to be doing another show with him, and we was telling him about you, and he was like, wow, you know, I'm going to make sure I tune in. And I'm like, okay, that's 1.6 million plus one. So tell us about what you're doing today.
Well, you know, when I left the Temps, I grew up in a household where there was always music. There are great singers in my family. As a matter of fact, one of my aunts was a big R&B gospel singer here in the area when I was growing up. So we've always had people in the Powell. My mom's maiden name was Powell. My dad's last name is Leonard. So between the Leonard family and the Powell family, there were always plenty of singers around. And I was the least of them.
Wow.
I'll be honest with you. In particular in the Powell family, there are a number of great singers in the family. So music has always been there. It's always been a part of the atmosphere. And when you grow up in that, you know, you don't really think about it, but you're hearing it all the time. You're hearing the best all the time. And I think that that atmosphere growing up is really a part of the preparation that is probably least remembered or even acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
Because had not I heard that music, that quality of music, you know, in my house growing up, I probably would have never had an ear for the elite talent. So I don't know if that answered your question. But.
Well, you know, it's just so I was listening to one of our old shows, and I was telling my wife about the Unifics, because they grew up in D.C. And, you know, the Court of Love, this particular show was dealing with the single life. And, you know, when the Unifics came out with that and up drove Cadillac, one of the other songs, one of the two songs that was most popular. And it was that kind of harmony. Essentially what we want to find out, the venues that you're in now, where can we find you to point people in the direction? We hope to bring in busloads of people to hear what you're doing.
A lot of what I do is actually international.
Okay.
I'm in Europe quite a bit. I'm in Asia. I do things here in the United States. You know, the United States is, we got so much going on here. We get so much music. People in other areas of the world don't get to hear or see people like the Temptations as much as the people here in the United States. So there is a bigger hunger. They don't get to see you every day. So When I did my first tour of Europe without the Temptations, you know, took my own Temptation review out, I was pleasantly surprised. I were there for 3 or 4 days. We packed it out every show. So that's when I knew. I said, you know, I think I want to do Europe and Asia. I'll let Otis have the United States. That's where the temps are established, you know. I mean, you know, the temptations are world-renowned. And a lot of these areas have never had a temptation show to come to them. So we're trying to go to the people who don't get to see groups like the Temptations that often.
Well, is there money green over there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I don't go unless the money's green. I don't take blue money. I don't take purple money. Or brown money.
Right.
Got to be greenbacks.
Right. So, the things that you're doing in the United States, my understanding, you have one of the purest shows out there representing the Temptations, the review, make sure we get that word in, review of what they've been doing over the years. And your show has been considered a very, very elite. And we know that other artists had similar things, but your show seemed to have risen, and most of the former Temptations, a lot of them are deceased now, unfortunately.
Right.
So you're still kicking. We're going to get as much out of you as we can going forward. So can you tell us a little bit about your shows and how you formulated them and designed them so that this is why they receive the type of accolades that they are getting now?
Well, you know, you used the word earlier in your conversation here. You mentioned pure. I think somewhere even earlier back up when you were talking about singing, the word pure came up. And that's always been my thing. I'm not, I don't do a lot of riffs and a lot of runs, and I call it vocal gymnastics. Nothing wrong with it. I love listening to it myself. I wish I could do a lot of it. But you have to find what your niche is. My niche is my purity and my tone.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to maintain that and let those two elements come through in my singing, in my presentation. I focus on that word, purity, clarity, excellence on every level. So I try to keep that in the forefront of my mind. My tone has always been what's kept me over the top. Everybody has something unique about their style, their sound, and you got to figure out what yours is and bring that to the table. You'll start out being influenced by other artists. Nothing wrong with that. Certainly Eddie Kendricks influenced me. Lil Anthony was my first tenor. I mean, I loved his voice.
Yes.
And for years, he trained me and didn't even know it.
Right.
So I've always tried to listen to Curtis Mayfield. I've always tried to listen to the best voices and glean what I can from them to mix with what I have. People, you hear this talked about, people trying to sound like this person or sound like that person. You can try all you want to sound like somebody, but everybody is unique. Nobody's ever going to be able to actually duplicate your sound. Your sound, every individual sound is unique to them. And the key is to figure out what is your quality. What is the thing that you're actually bringing to the table? Sometimes it's subtle, but yet effective. People don't quite understand what it is, but all they know is when they hear that voice, bam. So you got to discover and tap into your own uniqueness, however subtle or however extreme that might be. And that's what I've always tried to do. I've always tried to keep my voice clean. One of the things that I used to hear Mr. Gordy say a lot is making sure that the song feels good. Mm-hmm. The notes that you're hitting feels mm-hmm. good. And sometimes I remember this comment, and I don't know exactly who said it. It may have been Mr. Gordon. He said, I don't care about what I understand what you're saying. I want to feel what you're saying.
Right.
And
right.
That, you know, so I focus on those kind of things. And, you know, everybody's voice is structured. Your vocal cords are like rubber bands, and everybody's bands are different. They're laid different. They move different. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, to listen and hear that everybody you ever hear, you ever heard, everybody that was ever success had a uniqueness in their sound that mm-hmm. some may have sound similar, mm-hmm. but there's always something that sets you apart. And that's what you got to try to build on and focus on. That's what's going to make people be able to identify with you.
Well, that's good advice for, because I'm blessed to have some very talented people in my union with my wife and her family. Uh-huh. And she has a granddaughter that can just sing wonderfully. And we're just looking forward to for her to have that breakout of having a passion. Her father is already into music. As a matter of fact, while we were at the venue with Michael Franks, we met a gentleman, and he's grooming his daughter, and she has an amazing jazz voice. I don't think she's 25 years old.
No, she's not.
Yeah.
And she was so gifted, and so Raina has the same kind of qualities that we would like to see out there. But it's you know, it's their decision whether they want to use it or not, but we just appreciate it. And our job.
Yes, our job is to just be there to encourage them and give them the platform to do that. That is key.
You know, it's very, very important that the present stars set the platform and the stage for the future stars.
Yes.
My son sings, and it's very, very difficult to come behind the kind of success that Temptations have had.
Yes.
And so I try to encourage him. He's a talent, like I am. I personally think he's better than I am. If you look through the pictures I sent you, one of the photos I sent you, it was a picture of him and I on an album cover.
Okay.
And Otis, when he was born, Otis named him, gave him a nickname. Otis started calling him G2, means Glenn 2. Mm-hmm, he's a junior. So he sings, and I personally think he's got a better voice than I do. I know his ears way better than mine.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, you know, encourage him. I'm working on a project with him. When I say working on it, it's not like we're grinding 9 to 10 hours a day, but we've initiated a concept he and I are going to do a project together. Well, the project will include him. I don't know if it'll be a total project of just him and I, but I want to feature him
right
on my next solo album. So that one of the pictures I sent you was him and I.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you look through them, you'll see it. But I think it's very, very important to set the stage for the next generation.
Well, we'll just tell him that his dad already opened the door, and we pulling him in, because you know I'll go. We're also pastors. And so we're always pushing the youth upward, and however way it's done, as long as first it's in Jesus' name, second it's the will of God, and we're the conduit for that. We want to make sure that they get the opportunity to perform and to have a platform, because in your time and our time, these opportunities weren't available. We were getting taken advantage of big time. It wasn't for, Curtis Mayfield and Ray Charles and people like that.
Yeah.
we would get James Brown, all of those kind of artists. I mean, they lost a lot, but they did a lot as well. So yes. I guess in the big universe of things, it balanced out some kind of way. We still feel cheated, though, to keep it on the real. but, I mean, we certainly would like to have him on the air. And who knows, maybe him and Raina and everyone else can all get together and do something because the talent is there. And you know, one of the things that I appreciate you mentioning is doing the work. We want the youth, the millennials to understand the work has to be done. There's no shortcuts for this.
I think that's one of the things that's missing.
Right.
Because this whole notion of fame and attention is taken out of perspective and out of a priority. I personally think that, and I don't want to make this a blanket statement, but I see this a lot. People are more interested in they're more interested in the performance than they are the preparation.
Right.
And I don't think you can get to the quality of performance without the proper preparation. So my thinking is you got to have a love for practice. Not just performance, but I love putting it together. I love getting in the workshop, in the cave, and chiseling it out, figuring out the notes, figuring out the steps, figuring out the show. I love the preparation, actually more than the performance. Sometimes the performance can be a little discombobulated because there's so much attention, so much energy around all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like not enough artists really enjoy or have a passion for the preparation. One of the questions you asked at the top was, when did I discover this passion? That passion I discovered years ago as a youngster, little kid. My uncles on my mom's side, on the Powell side of our family, as I told you earlier, are quite a few singers. One of them played guitar and sang. And he was my first idol. That was my uncle, Uncle Willard. Good looking guy, had hazel eyes. And had this complexion that he just stood out in the way he went. And the guy could sing.
Yes.
And people loved it. And the ladies would flip out over it. And so when I saw that, my thinking was, wow, I would love to sing like that. I would love to play that guitar like that. I never thought about the attention he was getting. I just wanted to hold that guitar and be able to sing one of those songs he was singing.
Mm-hmm.
So he inspired me to the point to where I worried my mom and dad. I guess they figured I was going crazy, but after I saw my uncle doing his thing, I kept telling him, you got to get me a guitar. And so my dad, at the time, my father was a semi-pro baseball player, so he was grooming me to be an athlete. So at seven, 8 years old, instead of playing kickball, stickball, hide-and-go-seek, I'm in the backyard with him, learning how to throw pitches, learning how to play baseball. So he was grooming me to be an athlete. Music was something he enjoyed, something he did, but I think his dream for me was to be a professional baseball player.
Wow.
My
and
goodness.
So that would lend toward my being in shape, my learning, having a desire to some level to take care of my body. And, you know, my voice was a part of that. So very early, my passion was developed just in the atmosphere of where I grew up and what was going on around.
You know, when you talk about that, it just brings, as parents, you know, I suggest, we can't tell our kids anything no more, but we suggest to them, that, like you said, get ready, be ready. You're not going to have everything that you want. You build on what you do have and go up. My daughter, Paris Scott, she is into videography, and she does a great job at it. But they're getting better, you know, taking, going that extra step. And I think in our generation, we did that more so. But they can be retrained. You know, they can, if they allow us to do what we do and help them, it would be wonderful for them to pick up these attributes and move on. So one of the last things we want to give you an opportunity to do is just to kind of tell us something that you want your audience to know about you and what you're doing and how you're going to go forward with the rest of your career, because obviously you're not done yet.
Well, I'm just expanding as doors open, as opportunities present themselves. One of the things I'm doing right now is I've always been a part of stand-up groups, you know, those kind of shows. And so I got involved in a musical. It's called Forever Motown. You know, where you got acting and singing and dancing and all of it. And that's been something I've enjoyed at this stage. So, as a matter of fact, I'm going out with next week, I think, to do a show with the musical. It's called Forever Motown. And it's got all of the early Motown music in it. So there's a Marvelettes group, there's a Supremes group, there's a Four Tops group, a Temptation. We do a Temptation set. So I do that with one of the other expectations, Theo Peoples, who was with the Temps some years after I left. He and I head up this musical called Forever Motown. So I enjoy doing that. I want to do this project with my son, father and son type thing. I'm just kind of open. I've been approached about some television things. When you have got reached over into this season of a lengthy career, you kind of want to be able to do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, you've kind of earned the right if you've been disciplined, you've been consistent, you've stayed on the grind. At some point, you have things that you've thought about and said, "Wow, I would love to do something like that." So that's kind of where I am, and that could mean anything at this point.
Wonderful. I wanted to ask you, if I could interject right here and just ask you, this Forever Motown, where can we get information about that?
I will shoot you a couple of the promos if you want to run them. The show has been around for a while.
All right.
It's not a new show, but I think when they decided to bring in we have an ex-Marvelette in the show, and we have Theo Peoples and myself from The Temptations. So when they started bringing in ex-Temptations, ex-Marvelettes, or we have no ex-Supremes, but when you bring in people who were actually a part of that, it gives it energy.
You know, yes.
And people want to come and partake of it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we thank you so much for coming and sharing with us and our audience today. We just wish you the best, Glenn C. Leonard, and whatever you do, whatever you and your son do in the future and the near future. We just have enjoyed this so much. It's very interesting, and I just believe that we'll bring you back again, especially to talk more about this Forever Motown. We are looking forward to what you are doing.
I want to mention that you all mentioned that you're pastors. I'm involved in ministry as well.
Yes.
I grew up in church. Between church and music and the streets, you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
When I left attempts, one of the things that I did was I went back to seminary. So I have a doctorate in theology and the arts. So ministry, I think that one of the things that has, I would like to see happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see a number of the artists who are Christians or say they're saved, I would love to see them make an influence, make an impact on some of the other artists who may not know the Lord. And I don't beat people across the head with the Bible.
Yeah, we don't either.
Or with my beliefs. I just try to operate in genuineness and in love and compassion. You know, sometimes people think when you're a Christian, you know, you're soft. Being a Christian don't make me soft or make me vulnerable. It's made me stronger.
Yes.
Exactly.
So I think that that's one of the things that is needed in the industry to help clean up some of the things that we see going on today. I mean, there's a lot, you know, with social media now, everything now is out in the open. And so as quick as people rise to the top these days, they come down as fast. And that's because of all the extreme things that are exposed. So there's a lot to clean up in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's time for some of the people who say they know the Lord and they're saved to step up. I'm not talking about beating nobody across the head with the Bible. I'm just talking about being there when people's lives cave in.
Yes.
Letting them know that there are answers. Letting them know that there is hope. And that's a part of what I try to do in the secular arena.
Absolutely.
I attempted to try to just go to churches and do revivals and things like that. And the Lord jerked my coattail and told me, says, that's like hauling water to the sea. we need to haul water to the dry place, the desert. He said, I don't want you to come out of the secular industry. I want you to stay there.
Mm.
But I want you to stay strong. I want you to influence them. I don't want you to be so much influenced by them, but influence them.
Mm.
So that's the kind of position we have to take as believers to help clean up our industry.
I like the way you said that,
yes.
Glenn, because, you know, first you have to have the heart of sharing. That's very important. There's no need. There's enough room at the table for everyone. And it's just the way that you put that. It lends to. Now, you know, I like the way Malcolm X said it. By any means necessary. So if they want me to hit them upside the head with the Bible, okay, well, let's just go. You know, but we want to do it in such a way that it's in decency, in order, because I don't like what we're seeing. I'm always just mindful of my surroundings. God has blessed us. We don't want anything taken away from us because we earned it. It wasn't given to us. And just some of the things that's crime, whether it's black on black crime, Asian on Asian crime, Latino on Latino crime. It's all the same thing to me, that we're destroying each other versus helping each other move upward. So, I mean, that's right down our alley as we go in. So DJ Love is going to close us out, and we're going to play some more of your music. And, you know, we will be in touch with you very, very soon. I believe that this show is going to be on today.
Okay.
I'm going to ask permission from my wife. This is our date night, so we generally go out and don't do a whole lot of things on Friday. But when we saw you, God said move, and we moved. So
yes. Thank you again, Glenn C. Leonard of the Former Temptations Group. God bless you. This has been another production of KingScottRadioTV.com, and this is On the Beat Radio Talk Show. I am DJ Love, and also DJ Dove has been here with me. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
KingScottRadioTV.com.